Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. 1 hour to go on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Brian McDonald, found on Twitter at SatByBMAC. Cam Smith on Twitter at ClutchCityCam. Sean Mapes of half the shows here on the station is found on Twitter at SeanMapes. And Johnny. I mean, it is half the shows. Literally, it is half the show.
But it's the Monday through Friday. I don't do Soccer Matters. I don't do
you don't have
I don't
dog
do Charlie Epps anymore.
You don't got that dog in you.
I don't have that dog.
Yeah, you don't have that dog in you. It's really sad to see the lack of work ethic.
That sled dog.
And our man Johnny Belmer behind the glass, found on Twitter at Third Coast Johnny. All right, let's continue the Texans conversation we were having last segment. If you want to weigh in on anything we're talking about here with what the draft selections say about the Texans roster, give us a call on the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls on anything Texans related, or if you have some thoughts on what we talked about in past segments with the Astros, Alex Bregman sucking, the starting pitching getting healthy, we'll take those calls as well. So HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. So last segment we talked about, you know, what the draft selections or lack thereof said about left guard and defensive tackle. Before we went to the break, Cam, you're talking about linebacker and D'Amico's faith and Casario's faith in the guys they have. Obviously, they signed Azeez Al-Shaahir in free agency from the Tennessee Titans, and Christian Harris, their former second-round draft pick. He was second-round draft pick, right? Anyway,
second round, yeah.
Christian Harris, who obviously had a big playoff game against the Browns, they have a lot of faith in him as well. To me, with them not addressing linebacker in a meaningful way in the draft, I think what that says to me, because really you look at their depth chart, you know, Azeez Al-Shaahir, Christian Harris, like them a lot, have no questions about them. Henry To'oTo'o, I think they seem to like him. I don't know. I thought his rookie season was a little bit questionable. And then after that, name another Texans linebacker in the roster. And if you're looking at the depth chart, if you're not looking at the depth chart, I don't think we can. There's not a lot of big names in this linebacker room after those three names I just mentioned. So what that says to me, that, you know, you got two guys you like, one guy that's questionable, and no one else in the linebacker room is identifiable by the average fan. I think that what that says to me is kind of what we talked about last segment, Sean, is that they're going to be in nickel a lot. They're going to be in, you know, these sub packages with only two linebackers on the field, probably 80%+, maybe even over 90% of the time, and they'll only need those two linebackers in those situations. So I think that's what that tells me. By not adding more linebackers, they plan to be in nickel way over two-thirds of the time.
Yeah, that combined with the defensive tackle, they handled the defensive tackle position, and with the seemingly quantity over quality approach to the defensive backfield with as far as cornerbacks go.
You're saying Jeff Okuda's more quantity than quality?
Yeah.
I agree.
CJ Henderson.
Yeah. Lonnie Johnson.
Lonnie Johnson. Yeah. And then you add in Lassiter.
It's a lot of quantity.
Desmond King.
A lot of quantity.
It seems like it's a lot of...
It's bodies, bodies, bodies.
Yeah, and hopefully find a combination that works.
Yeah, pretty much. Cam, where do you weigh in with the linebackers here?
I mean, kind of what we were talking about, like, I think they have a lot of faith in Christian Harris and Azeez. I mean, apparently they wanted to go after Azeez a few years ago,
yeah,
and they couldn't get him. And he's more of that old school, in-your-face, like, bigger linebacker. I think that's why they didn't really care to address the D-line too. And kind of, you know, bringing up Devondre Sweat, that guy, he's not a 4-3, like, defensive lineman. The Texans run a 4-3 base, technically. And, like, I feel like he's more of, like, a 3-4 because
sure.
The dude is 350 pounds. Like, that is not
on
what...
On a light day.
Yeah, that
on
is not
light
what
day.
The...
He was playing, like, at 365.
He must have been in a salad or two.
Didn't eat for 2 days. So, like, I think they've done a really good job the last couple of years drafting the guys that are going to fit this D'Amico Ryans team. And I think, you know, with the Kamari Lassiter draft, they're definitely going to run that nickel defense. And I think that if Stingley and if Petrie can kind of return to year one and you see what Kamari can do, I mean, this could be a really, really dynamic secondary that even if you are kind of shallow in the depth with linebackers, you can fill that void with what you have in the secondary. So I know that people wanted them to probably draft a linebacker and defensive tackle in the higher rounds, but you fill those pieces with the Z's. You know, I know you don't really, sounds like y'all don't care about a Jeff Aduka, but I mean, he's a pretty decent bring over.
It's just with Henderson and Okuda, there's a reason they're going to be on their fourth team in 3 years.
True.
And so I don't discount the fact that one of them
kind of feels like Daryl Morey's strategy. Let's just add a bunch of former first rounders.
Yeah, and I think either one of them could end up working out. It's just sitting here right now, I don't know which one, and I don't think both.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to LeBurge and place bets on them. You think LeBurge has LeBurge has a lot of odds. I'll have to talk with Joe about this.
I think
they have Jeff Okuda odds?
I think after the Jonte Porter thing, they're not doing the end of the bench odds.
Probably
anymore.
Not. All right, so Cam, you mentioned safety there. Let's talk about safety because I mean, last year obviously the big signing was Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie. The second round pick from the year before that was coming off a great rookie season. And I think most people would agree, while they weren't a disaster, I would say Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie didn't have their best seasons of their career. Jimmy Ward missed a lot of games. Petrie missed the game or at least a couple games as well. And they had some issues with being kind of the deepest of the deepest, like the actual safety. And I think what their second round pick or third round pick of Kalen Bullock says to me is when you look at his draft profile and see what he kind of what type of safety he is, he looks like he is that deepest of the deepest, a true coverage safety, a playmaker who's going to look to be deep, kind of like an Earl Thomas was, play that center field in range and take balls away. I think that what that tells us is they now look at Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie and go, okay, their strengths are more box safety than deep safety. Let's go and get a guy that can be the deepest of the deepest. And I think you're going to see Kalen Bullock actually get quite a bit of playing time in year one.
I think I love the Bullock pickup. And I definitely think by a few games into the season, he's going to get more playing time than Petrie and Ward. The thing with Petrie is...
Define midway into the season.
Game five, game six.
Okay, that's pretty bold.
Because I think Petrie has a lot of talent, but I'm not comparing him to Ed Reed. So don't take this like me saying he's Ed Reed. But when Ed Reed came
best
to the Texans,
safety ever.
Ed Reed, it seemed like he went away from the basics of just trying to tackle and doing your coverage, and more into I just want to run and knock your head off. And I think that's what Petrie tried to do last year was he tried to just knock people out. He was out of coverage a lot. He had a lot of missed tackles. So that's why, to your point, we're putting him in the box, almost kind of like a smaller linebacker. I think that will fit him better, which is why I really love the Bullock pickup.
Yeah, I agree with you on Bullock. I'm not as bold as you are.
You're not as bullish on Bullock?
D plus. No, I'm
shaking
his head. Johnny, what do you think?
Because you've been making fun of them for their jokes all day.
You missed 100% of the shots you don't take. Look, I took the shot, I kind of D'Angelo Russell'd it. I turned around, arms to the sky, thinking it had gone in, and it clanked.
Elimination game, James, over there.
Yeah, no, game five, James Harden, yeah.
I think that Bullock is someone who is definitely going to be part of the DB... I think he is going to be like one of the members of the defensive backfield when big plays happen. Like, I don't know if that means he starts. I don't know if that means he's just in there for more of the nickel stuff or the more of the passing down. I just the production that he showed having
9 interceptions, I think. Yeah.
Yes, 9 interceptions is just someone that the Texans don't have at the safety position right now. Really, they don't have anywhere in their defensive backfield other than Derek Stingley,
right,
as far as guys who make plays on the ball like that. Last year, I believe Ward and Petrie combined to have one interception.
Sounds right.
So
it wasn't a lot. I know that.
I think that both those jobs, or I guess either job, is kind of open for the taking for Bullock.
But Jimmy Ward being his last season of his Texans contract too, so there's that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, and so I think that the door is open for Bullock to really steal some playing time and be a big member of this Texans defense.
All right, one more before we get out here for the break. I don't know where you guys were at before the draft started, but I mean, obviously we know Joe Mixon's going to be the starter at running back. You don't trade for him, even though they gave up practically nothing. But you don't trade for a running back.
Open competition.
And then give him an extension right away to then obviously sit him on the bench. So he was going to be the starter, obviously. Joe Mixon, regardless of what you thought of him, obviously off the field has been an accomplished player in the league, and he was going to be the starter. The question for the Texans running back room was, okay, what do you have after Joe Mixon? Because no running back in the league plays 17 games. And especially a running back like Joe Mixon is going to be 28 when training camp starts. An older running back, I think you're going to book him or pencil him in for two or three missed games. He's not a guy that's had amazing efficiency numbers, really going back to like 2018 or 2019. So you're going to need some guy. You're going to need some names and some bodies to spell Joe Mixon at times. And Damien Pierce was great as a rookie, did nothing in year two because he didn't seem to fit the system. Behind that, you have a guy who's better as a kicker than as a runner with Dare. Oh, was that unfair?
Disrespected him a little bit.
What did he have more? Made field goals or touchdowns last year?
Oh, touchdowns. That's the line we're going with.
Anyway.
That's an unfair line to have for a running back.
Yeah, so unfair. But they had issues with the depth behind Joe Mixon. If Joe Mixon misses a game, either, you know, Damien Pierce is going to have to figure the system out, something he didn't do last year, or you're going to have a real problem. But by the Texans not addressing running back until, I believe, it was the sixth round with the running back out of Louisville, Sean, I don't know what you think about this, the running back room, but it tells me that Nick Cassero, D'Amico Ryans are comfortable with Damien Pierce being the guy that not only compliments Joe Mixon, but when Joe Mixon misses the obligatory two games for running back, Damien Pierce is going to be the guy.
Yeah, and running back is another position where the line between street free agent and valued member of an offense is very thin.
The Dare line?
Yes. The line between, like, this guy was on the street 2 weeks ago. Now he has 100 yards against the Panthers. It's like, yeah, that happens a couple times a season where these guys, you know, a lot of heartwarming stories. And so I think that it is a situation where where Joe Mixon is, the plan is that he's going to be your workhorse back. He's going to get the vast majority of the touches out of the backfield. And yes, it'll be it'll be a combination of Pierce and Jordan, the sixth-round rookie that they just were drafted out of Louisville, as far as to fill the gaps of the snaps and the touches from a game-to-game basis in the Texans' backfield at the running back position. And then, like you're saying, when he does miss time, when Mixon does mix time, that's where I feel like it gets a little hairy as far as now you're depending on these guys. And maybe Pierce, you know, we always talk about a quarterback or receiver second year in the offense a little bit more comfortable. Maybe for a running back too, the second year in this Bobby Sloak offense,
it'll sink in.
Pierce just has a little bit more of a better fit.
I like the Jordan draft in the sixth round. I did think that they were going to go running back a little higher, but I think for me, this just shows that they have a lot of faith in CJ Stroud and that he's going to have more of an explosive.
That they don't need to run the ball?
Well, not so much that they don't need to run the ball, but I mean, to Joe Mixon, I mean, yeah, obviously running backs are going to miss a game or here or two, but over the last 3 years, he's only missed three games. You know, I think he has 37 total touchdowns over the last 3 years, so he is still a very productive running back.
So he's caught more charges than missed games?
Maybe. But it...
Still shake your head at me, Sean. It's a part of the story.
Out of pocket.
But
sorry to derail you there, Cam. Go ahead.
I think Damien Pierce... I know he obviously had a huge sophomore drop-off, especially since Singletary essentially took over his role and did really well. But I think there's just a lot more expectation that C.J. Stroud is going to have an even better offensive year, so they're not going to have to rely so much on the run game. And you did bring in Joe Mixon, who is an upgrade than Singletary. So saying in all that, I think that they're okay as far as the running back position goes. I think there's other positions on the team that need more depth help than running back. So I'm good as far as is that running back group.
Sean, now can you tell me the problem with what Cam is saying right now? I mean, he's saying they're not going to run the ball, Sean.
No, look,
as a 40-year-old man, I am a firm believer in establishing the run. Sean, please
in the National Football League.
Thank you, Sean. Preach, brother.
When games get tough, when the weather gets cold inside the dome at NRG Stadium.
The frozen tundra.
Of NRG Stadium. when boys become men.
It's like a gladiator speech.
You need to establish that run.
That's right.
And make the other team quit.
Thank you. All right.
never mind that you have like a top 10 quarterback.
No, Sean, you're fine.
Three awesome wide receivers.
Stop.
You still need to establish it.
There we go. We're back.
It's the backbone of the Shanahan offense.
Cam, I can't take this
Madden generation. Just want to throw the ball on every play.
No. That's not where I'm going
Gen
with it.
Gen Z Cam over here just wants to pass it 75 TikTok, times a game.
It makes for better TikToks to throw the ball.
I just have a lot of faith in Joe Mixon.
If CJ throws the ball the way he did last year, I'm with Cam. I don't care if they throw it 75 times
all right,
a game.
Johnny, turn your own mic off. All right, when we get back on the other side of the break, we got to talk about Patrick Beverly. He's a terrible human being. We could probably spend the entire last segment for the worst people in sports this week and just make it Patrick Beverly. But we're going to give it a little bit more time in our leftover segment, that when the bullpen returns on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Roller coasters. Holy roller. I got shot down in Southern California.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, welcome back in. A few segments ago, of course, up next is our award-winning groundbreaking segment, a segment that has changed the landscape of sports radio as we know it. Mount Rushmore Plus One, that'll be next. Cam's not your debut episode, but your first one behind or on this side of the glass. But right now, our leftover segment, and we got to talk about someone who probably needs his jersey up for worst person in sports this week. Pat Button. I don't know if it's quite Paul Pierce level, because that was really a one-man crusade with Josh.
And body of work for Paul Pierce.
Yeah, but Paul Pierce has a nice body of work as far as being a terrible person. But Patrick Beverly quickly catching up. I mean, we don't have the audio of this first part, but obviously, not to state the obvious and stand on a soapbox, but you know, maybe don't chuck basketballs as hard as you can at fans in the stands.
Let's
start with that. I mean, he wasn't Vernon Maxwell running up in the stands. He wasn't Ron Artest starting the Malice at the Palace. But you can't chuck a basketball as hard as you can at a fan to state the completely obvious. I'll start with you, Sean. How many games should Patrick Beverly get for this?
I think he's probably going to get 5 to 10, somewhere in that range as far as games. And for the most part, it is, yes. Like, if he threw the ball like that at another player or something, barely talking about it. You can't do that to the paying customer. Ever since the Malice of the Palace, the NBA has had a pretty hard line of...
Especially since they were in Indianapolis.
Yes. You can't do that to the paying customer. You can't beef with the... with the fans in any physical manner. In general, if it's all verbal, everyone kind of sides on the player side. The second it turns even remotely physical, it's whoa, you cannot be doing this. So yeah, I think it's also a little bit
of 5 to 10.
Yeah, and that's more of a hey, chill out, man, kind of suspension.
Yeah, what do you think, Cam?
I think 5 to 10 is going to be the least that he's suspended, because not only did he throw the ball into the stands, but he hit a lady in the face, which wasn't even his initial target, got the ball back, and then chunked it again
harder
at another person. And it's just like, not only was it obviously on TV, a professional basketball game, but it was during a playoff game where there's even more eyes on the screen watching. And it's just like, look, Russell Westbrook talks trash to fans all the time, but that's where the line stops with him. He doesn't go after the fans like Patrick Beverley did. And then on top of that, Patrick Beverley is not a name that you think of in the NBA. So like, if it was like a star player, I could see how the suspension would be less because you obviously want to see the star players play more. But it's Patrick Beverley.
So you think they're going to make an example of him?
I think he's – yeah, I mean, it's just easy, how do you not?
It's easier to throw the book at Patrick Beverley, who
– see, I
– at sight unseen, let me just say, whichever team he's on next year because he's going to be a free agent, he's going to be coming off the bench. He's only starting because of the amount of injuries that the Bucks have.
And going back to Ron Artest, yeah, he went into the stands, but Ron Artest also had – drinks and stuff thrown on him. Yeah. Patrick Beverley was just being trash talked by Pacers fans, and
he was down 20. Let's be honest. Yeah. There was definitely a sore sport, you know, aspect of this. I would put the number that I would expect, and I wouldn't even be shocked if it went beyond this because of what you guys have said. Like, make an example. It's easier to suspend a guy like Patrick Beverley in this sort of situation. But I think I'd put it at 20 games. By Sean's number, that would seem excessive, but I think you're looking at 20 up to. I don't think what did John Morant get for the second one? Was it 40? Was it half a season? I'm trying to remember what he got for the second. Oh no, it was 25 games. I think. I don't think you can give. I don't think you give Beverley more than Ja. So I would probably put the numbers right about 20. Johnny, if you're Adam Silver, what are you getting Patrick Beverley for this?
I think 20 sounds a little high. Probably on the little high end. I would say 5 to 10 makes more sense. I mean, you're not. He didn't do anything crazy. He didn't run up there and punch anybody, threw the ball. No, it's not acceptable, but it's also not the end of the world. And I think fans like Pat Bev. I think 5 to 10 sounds like a fair number.
All right, so let's get to the other part of Patrick Beverley's night, because the shenanigans didn't end there.
What?
No.
But the game ended, though.
Yeah,
the shenanigans ended.
Like we learned from The Rock, just because the show is over, sometimes the shenanigans keep going. When The Rock was most unprofessional, attacking Cody after Monday Night Raw.
Let me tell you, Patrick Beverley, a little unprofessional here.
A little unprofessional. So he was in the locker room, supposed to be taking questions from the media, who obviously were going to have questions from a guy who just threw a ball at fans twice at the end of a game in which they lost by, 20 plus. One problem, though, for some reason, he decided to not let a female reporter in on the scrum, citing that if you're not a subscriber to my podcast, and we'll hear the audio here in just a second, that, you know, you can't ask me questions. Let's go ahead and hear that audio and that exchange right now. Patrick Beverley telling a female reporter in the locker room that she couldn't ask him questions because she didn't subscribe to his podcast.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to
you?
I do not.
So you can't interview me then? No, okay, disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump, or maybe. Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over, kind of like you have in the past?
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Just, childish.
He's just the absolute worst there. Like, I mean, did he go around and ask and I know the answer to this question I'm about to ask, did he go around and ask the rest of the media members, the male media members, if they subscribed to his podcast? Did he take their phones and check to see that they had smashed the subscribe button and it turned on notifications? Just what an, nope. I mean, what an absolute load of horse bleep from Patrick Beverley there.
That was one of my points, because I was getting not into it with a buddy on Twitter. I guess a little back and forth. You know, he went to Arkansas, so Patrick Beverley's kind of his boy. And my whole point was one, you only asked the female reporter if she subscribed. You didn't ask any other reporters in there if they subscribed. Two, you just got your ass whooped in a playoff game, and what you're concerned about is your podcast. Like, that seems like the furthest thing that
his podcast is better than his game now.
That should be the furthest thing that you're talking about. And then on top of that, okay, right, athletes don't owe people anything to a certain extent, but you still owe the reporters respect. And, yeah, you didn't have to answer her question, But, like, you didn't have to be like, oh, get the mic out of my face or hop out of the circle. Just ignore her. Like, if you're already being a douche, don't take it to the next step. Just don't say anything to her. But, like, to continue to call her out because she's not subscribed to your podcast, which I guarantee you half the other reporters in that room don't care about your podcast either. Like, this was just a complete and utter douche move, especially after you just nailed a woman in the head an hour before with a basketball.
Yeah, I know Patrick Beverley's like whole bit is that he's always trying to grind his podcast, always trying to boost his podcast. This is where doing the bit goes wrong, where it's like, dude, no one like a like this is just no one's gonna be on your side here.
No.
Like
even after you apologize, like I don't even care that he apologized. It's so hollow.
It's like a funny thing to go, hey, you subscribe to my podcast. Like after a win, if you do
after
this,
a win, it's funny. After this, it's a D-bag move.
Yeah, it's just like it's so like soft and just yeah. There's no like real defense of it really. There's just like you're just like a loser.
To Cam's point, like I would have been way more fine, and we wouldn't even be talking about it today if Patrick Beverley had just declined to speak to the media. Like
or if you just like Cam said, if you just don't answer her question. Like, you can't...
That still comes off as a little aggro, but I would have been fine if he just refused to answer questions from anyone. Like, he didn't even show up to the scrum.
Yeah, I'm just saying, even if you want to do the, like, you don't subscribe to my podcast, then you can't talk to me bit. Like, that's one thing, but to, like, actually just, like, push the microphone...
Yes.
...away
and,
from...
And not even just make the initial comment, which could have come off as a joke if it had been the only one.
Yeah.
By him continuing to, like, push the microphone away...
And trying to eject her.
And trying to eject her, just, yeah, he is the absolute worst.
And, I mean, talk about, like, biting your post-basketball career in the butt. If I'm not mistaken, ESPN banned him from making appearances. Wasn't he always on, like... What's that basketball show he appears on? I forget.
NBA Today.
That or The Jump or something. But yeah. He's not even allowed to like appear on that now. And it's like, this is backfiring on you because a lady reporter doesn't subscribe to your podcast, which you shouldn't even be bringing up in a post-game playoff basketball
game.
22-point
loss elimination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who in that moment cared, you know, anything about his podcast?
Him being Patrick Beverley actually makes it easier for him in this case because if a star player, if Paul George did this, who also has a podcast, who also got blown out in a closeout game six, like that would be even worse. Where it'd just be like, oh my, like it would be, people would be talking about him as his character as a man and stuff. And this is why you've never won anything with Patrick Beverley. It's just like, you're a loser, dude. It's like,
yeah.
It's like the temperature is a little bit lower that because he is Patrick Beverley.
But I don't remember Patrick Beverley ever acting like this, you know, when he was in here in Houston or whatever. He's really grown. His name has really become a household name. And now the podcast, like maybe he's getting a bit full of himself.
He's always had moments like this. He had the moment with Chris Paul back in the playoffs a few years ago where he pushed him in the back. He obviously had the moment. And I think a lot of us here in Houston were on his side when it happened. But he had the moment with Russell Westbrook where Russell Westbrook ended up having season-ending surgery because he played it too hard when Russell Westbrook was about to call a timeout. So I wouldn't say this is new for Beverley. It's maybe another level, but it's not new.
It's also the profile that he like the heightened profile that he has now as opposed to
because of the podcast.
Yeah, it's all like internet love, really. Like he didn't get any better. He doesn't have more fans because of his play or that fact that he's now a whatever 10-year vet as opposed to just coming up. It's because of like jokes on the internet, and he tried to tell an internet joke in real life, and that's what happens when you tell internet jokes in real life.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're over time. We got to get out because Mount Rushmore Plus One is up when we return. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
In Houston to the best part of your weekend. That is it. It is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. We got potentially four Mount Rushmore Plus Ones to get to today. Sean has decided to go last. He is main event Sean. I think that's very
fair. I've earned it. You've earned it. At this point in my career, how much work I've done with the company.
You are the main event. Yes, you are the showstopper. It's not Shawn Michaels.
I will finish the story.
Yeah, you will finish the story. Thank you, Cody Rhodes. I'll go ahead and go first, and then we'll figure it out with Cam and Johnny in between this. But my Mount Rushmore Plus One, if you haven't checked the calendar, today is May 4th. Some people celebrate that as May the 4th be with you.
Some people do.
For the Star Wars nerds, I've watched the Star Wars movies, but I'm not that into them. I'm not someone who really cares about today, but it inspired my list, and that list is my Mount Rushmore Plus One this week is of overused things said about days that I'm tired of hearing.
Oh.
Mount Rushmore, May the 4th be with you is not on the list. It's the inspiration, the reason for the season.
Yes.
But it's not on the list. Okay. But just know that it is also something I'm very tired of hearing about. I'm not going to go like the Star Wars 9 at the Astros game. I do not care. I don't need the Dallas Keuchel bobblehead dressed up as Obi-Wan or whatever the hell they give out.
Collector's item.
All right. It probably is. I actually do know a buddy who has one. But anyway. So number one on my Mount Rushmore Plus One of overused things said about days, or just the names that people or names that give or people give to days that I'm tired of hearing. One, and I don't hear it as much, but there's still people that do it on social media, and it drives me crazy. Hey, it's hump day. Just stop. Just please hump stop. Day. If I have to see that damn camel commercial, or I swear there's in my fantasy football chat, and it might be done ironically, but someone always yes, that one gif of the damn camel. When I was trying to say damn camel, man, that's really close together. I don't know. I'm going to try to think of a conspiracy theory on that later on. But yes, please stop with saying hump day. Number two on my Mount Rushmore Plus One. When people refer to Thursday as Friday Eve.
What about Friday Junior?
I haven't heard Friday Junior.
That's another one.
That one is... I think that's less offensive. Yeah, they're both bad.
The same.
They're both.
I mean, it is the same.
They're both cringe. Whenever someone's like, "Hey, Friday Eve," I'm like...
I was thinking...
Jump off the bridge.
I was thinking saying Eve for things like... For basically anything other than New Year's Eve and
Christmas Eve. Those are the two times
when you just go Eve. Like, or like it's Christmas Eve Eve.
Oh, I didn't. That's not on the list, but it's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. December 23rd.
Yeah, exactly. It's not on the list, but that is definitely an honorable mention. All right, next one. When people try to claim Christmas in July, whatever that halfway point is, that people want to make this big deal. Oh, it's halfway to Christmas. We got all these like. Christmas-themed things. And,
well, 108 degrees.
The heat index is 117. I'm not celebrating a fat man in a red suit when it's 117 degrees.
It's spare like when me. People say, oh, it's my half birthday, oh, 6 months away. God. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, if you're not five, you got to stop with that. Not on the list, but another good one there, Cam. Two more of my Mount Rushmore Plus One of overused things that I'm tired of hearing about people say about days. This one is really a shout out to the boomers. One in particular, my mom says this, so if she's not listening, it's fine.
This one's for you, boomers.
Shout out to you. But when they look at you in the face because they've run out of things to say and goes, man, I can't believe it's already insert whatever date it is. It's like the year has passed at the exact same rate that a dear year before. The only time that's not true is when it's a leap year and it's actually passed slower. So if there's no case it's ever passed any faster. Oh, man. I can't believe it's already May. I can't believe it's already May. It's like, yeah, it's funny how when January, February, March, and April run through all their days, it tends to go to May. It's just such a nothing thing to say. I effing hate it.
What about it's already, like, whoa, it's already Thursday.
Yeah, that too. It's not as bad as... I don't know which one's worse. They're both bad, though. Okay. But anyway,
I do that a lot. Where I'm like, I can't believe it's only Wednesday.
Well, Anyway, my last one on the list of the most annoying things people say about days, the most overused things. You know what tomorrow is, Cam, Sean, Johnny Belmer? Sunday fun day. I am so tired of hearing Sunday fun day. It's like, no, it's just... Why is it the fun day?
That's a good one.
Why is Sunday more fun than Friday or Saturday night? Or
it's the worst of the weekend days.
It's the worst of the weekend. Yeah,
you got one of them. You're at work.
Yeah, you can't even really enjoy it fully because you got work the next day. You can't party as hard as you would on like a Friday or Saturday. I can have just as much fun on Tuesday as I can on Sunday.
I'm guilty of still.
Oh, no.
Saying or texting Sunday
fun day.
But I feel like my situation's a little different because a lot of times I work Friday night.
Time out.
No, I wanted y'all to let him explain
A lot of times I work Friday night and Saturdays, and Monday at my normal job, my regular job, is like my late arrival. So a lot of times Sunday is my actual day
is your
to
fun
have
day?
Fun. Yes. But if I'm off on a Saturday, I will not say Sunday fun day.
Thank you. All right.
Sunday
All right.
card gets removed.
Okay. All right. All right. I will sort of forgive that then, but that is my Mount Rushmore plus one. Any overused things said about days that I missed that jump out to you?
I mean,
you guys?
Just the Eve one.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. It's just jump off a bridge. We don't need any more. All right, Cam, you want to go next? What is your Mount Rushmore plus one?
So this was kind of came up organically. We were talking about the vending machine and how it's empty once again and actually completely unplugged. So I thought, you know what? If it was my choice to put snacks in there, what would I do? So I know Mapes is going to like this one. Hershey's White Chocolate Bar.
Yep.
I love having a Hershey's White Chocolate Bar.
The cookies and cream?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Because that was what was in there before, right, Mapes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
That one. Wait,
until Sean ate them all.
Yeah, it was. That's where they went. I got to have some hot fries. If I can't have hot fries, you know, I'll go with hot Cheetos. I also love the Honey Nut Chex Mix, not just the regular Chex Mix.
Wait, Honey Nut Chex Mix? I don't think I've seen that.
They have a Honey Nut Chex Mix.
I mean, I've seen Honey Nut Cheerios. I don't think I've seen Honey Nut Chex Mix.
It comes in like a little golden bag, but yeah, it's
okay.
It's pretty on
point. I'll look out for that.
I love those like jalapeno like kettle chips.
Oh, like the Miss Vicky's ones?
Yeah, the Miss Vicky's. Like just that nice little crunch to it. And then for like a real deep sweet tooth, if I'm here early in the morning, if there's a honey bun in there, I'm going for it.
See, I look at the, like, I like cinnamon rolls, right? But I look at the honey bun, and I don't know. I look at very suspicious, like, they seem like they're going to come out very stale.
They can stay forever.
But they never do. They're always moist.
They're always moist,
that's
really?
Said.
And you got to get
it like a Twinkie? Is it gonna survive the nuclear?
Well, because
they're
wrapped in plastic, or they're like vacuum sealed in plastic.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I should give it a chance.
You got to get the bigger ones, though. You can't have those little teeny tiny ones.
Okay. All right.
No, not the snack size.
Size shape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Size shape. All right. I think for time reasons, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up with Sean. Sean, main event makes. What is your Mount Rushmore plus one this week?
Well, it's what we're all talking about before the show. It's what really dominated the night last night. It's what kept the Clippers from getting their full crucifixion when they got eliminated in the first round by the Dallas Mavericks. It was what took social media by storm. It is the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef. If, for those who don't know out there listening, Drake and Kendrick Lamar have been in a beef for the last month or so. And
it feels like it goes back even further than that at times.
It's basically been a cold war.
Yeah, okay,
then,
there you go.
And then the last, in like late March, it became a hot war. And so it didn't really get any hotter than last night. Drake dropped a 7-minute song taking shots at Kendrick Lamar, among others. And then 15 to 20 minutes later, Kendrick Lamar had his own 7-minute song that was
The Family Matters song that Kendrick Lamar put out.
He did Meet the Grams.
Oh, you're right. My fault.
Family Matters by Drake. And so my Mount Rushmore Plus One is the Mount Rushmore Plus One of most out-of-pocket things said on those two songs, in parentheses, that I can repeat on the radio.
Yeah.
Will be some... Yeah.
Be very careful. I'll be next to the dump.
There's a lot of letter bombs that get dropped in those songs. Yeah.
There's a lot of also race talk that I'm not qualified to
take part
in.
No, avoid.
So I'm going to start with Drake's Family Matters to Kendrick Lamar. Your baby mama captions always screaming, save me. You did her dirty all your life trying to make peace. I heard that one of your kids might be Dave Freeze.
Yes. And he extended it like
Freeze.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Next up. This is Drake taking a shot at A$AP Rocky, who arguably got it worse than anybody. I didn't even know you rap still, because all your all they be talking about is your fit again. Probably got to have another kid before you drop another any other bleep again. Even when you do drop, they're going to say you probably should have modeled because it's mid again.
Oh, God.
Ouch. Oh. It was in the situation where if you and your friends are all giving each other a hard time, and someone else pipes up, and you go, well, I know you're not talking right now.
Yeah,
what A$AP Rocky was like, wait, no, I'm not going to let you slide on this. And then this is how he ended, or not how he ended, but this is towards the end of, again, the seven-minute song. This is to Kendrick Lamar. Why'd you move to New York? Is it because you're living that bachelor life? Proposed in 2015, but you don't want to make her your actual wife? I'm guessing this wedding isn't happening, right?
Yeah.
Among other things that he said.
Oh, yeah, there were some shots at The Weeknd in that song as well.
There's also some domestic violence accusations.
Yeah, there was a lot to unpack in that song.
Yes, and then this is Kendrick Lamar's Meet the Grams. It started, this got there because this is how it started, and this when you know, oh my God, the gloves are off. Dear Adonis. So already addressing starting your song by addressing it to the person you're beefing with, son.
Yes.
Is crazy. Yes. I'm sorry that man is your father. Let me be honest. It takes a man to be a man. Your dad is not responsive. I look at him and wish your grandpa had worn a condom.
Oh.
Oh.
That's how you start the song.
That's coming hot.
Like a seven-year-old.
Oh, my God.
You raised... this is to Drake's dad, Dennis, and his mom, Sandra. You raised a horrible effing person. The nerve of you, Dennis. Sandra, sit down. What I'm about to say is heavy. Now listen. Your son is a sick man with sick thoughts. I think people like him should die. Him and Weinstein should get bleeped up in a cell for the rest of their life.
Oh, my goodness.
How do you come back from that?
You don't.
You don't. You
yeah,
don't.
You don't.
It was a mom and dad.
Wow. He dropped a wine scene.
He addressed every person in his family, didn't he? By one, kind of going.
Yes. Kendrick's going after the family like he's the mob, bro. Like, everybody is getting in it.
Leave no witnesses. Yeah.
Crazy.
That was great.
I wasn't even counting. Is there any more, Sean?
That was five.
That was five.
I have a sixth one, but that was five.
I cannot.
Those aren't even the radio. The ones you can say on the radio.
And I had to do some light editing. But
I noticed that at one point. A lot of times, emphasize people.
A lot of times, just the subject matter alone is not suitable for the radio.
When Harvey Weinstein jokes are what we can say. Go check out those two songs because it went. I don't care why they're beefing. The entertainment value is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like pro wrestling, but they're just rapping. All right, we got one segment left of the bullpen this week. Of course, it'll be our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week when we get back on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. Final segment today of the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Brian McDonald. With me, of course, Sean Mapes, Cam Smith, and Johnny Bilmer. And a quick show note, I know we've been off the last 2 weeks, but we will be back next week. So more Mount Rushmores, more worst people, and my worst person in sports this week. You have some audio to go along this. Was the press conference for the upcoming Canelo Jaime Munguia fight happening tonight. Oscar De La Hoya, Canelo's former promoter, had a bit of a falling out, but the head of Golden Boy had some pointed comments towards Canelo. Let's hear what Oscar De La Hoya had to say.
There were times that work was not my priority based on my mental health, which I had neglected for so long. But that doesn't change the fact that Golden Boy built Canelo Alvarez, period. The company you fought under for decades has always had one name, and it's mine. So put some respect on it. As for Jaime, he is always there to be great, just as he's this Saturday night. And this serves as a bit of a full circle for him. Remember when Jaime was 21 years old, volunteered to step in against Triple G, and Canelo failed 2 drug tests?
Oscar De La Hoya is the worst. I mean, the idea that, oh, I built Canelo like this. I mean, that's... There's been a problem in boxing for a long time with promoters doing boxers dirty, taking credit where they don't need it, stealing money from them, both literally and figuratively. But for Oscar to come on, especially since he's a former boxer who was once in this position, to try to say, oh, I made Canelo. No, Canelo was a star long before he was the Golden Boy. He was going to be a star with or without you. Obviously, his star hasn't faded. He's the only star in boxing that has mainstream appeal. And he's done that without you now for the last 5+ years. It's just... And then obviously Canelo unleashed a little bit that we cannot play on this air, even though it's in another language, we still cannot play. So, Oscar De La Hoya, you are my worst person in sports this week. Sean, your worst person in sports.
Worst person in sports this week. F1 Miami.
Oh, Sean, for those who don't know, is Mr. F1. Very yes. into it.
Specifically,
what happened with Miami?
Specifically, the food prices. F1. Oh, okay. I'll have...
So this is not like the Masters where they make the prices really low because...
Cam, do they make the prices really low?
For the Masters?
No, for F1. You looked at my screen.
No, that menu terrified me.
So it's worse than like the normal... Because they jack it up. If we go to Minute Maid or Energy, they jack up the prices.
A little bit.
So this is even beyond that.
How much do you think... carne asada nachos cost at F1 Miami?
Well, right? I would say, I'll just base it on what I would expect to pay at NRG. I would say carne asada nachos, I would say like $17.
$180.
What the hell?
Every single thing on this menu is over $100.
Okay, give me something else.
It better feed a family.
Yellowfin tuna poke.
Okay, well, that I expect to be expensive. I would, if I was at NRG, I would guess that's going to cost me like $27.
$170?
Oh, my God.
Maine lobster rolls.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's even a... Yeah, I that's
know,
always
this is a very F1...
I would expect that to be like a solid
$280.
And these are normal-sized lobster rolls?
I have to assume so. Like
this is not like a party sub-sized lobster roll.
This is American dollar,
don't,
right?
They don't say, like, this feeds 20 people. Like, oh, no, my they God. Don't, it's not saying that.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up pretty quickly. We got about 2 minutes left. Cam, who is your worst person in sports this week?
Well, we already went over him. Pat Bev. Easy choice.
Yeah. All right. Let's stop swimming with the anger sharks then, and go ahead and backstroke over to the sea of tranquility. Man, I could not get that out this week. Sorry. We won't play the audio
pretty
here.
Good,
but yeah, I know it's about. Well, I'm pre-gaming for Sunday Funday, Sean. That's what's happening. But the thing I love, we won't play the audio for it. But the back and forth that Micah Parsons and CJ Stroud have had on that podcast, and specifically the back and forth and the reply that CJ Stroud had to Micah Parsons when Micah tried to claim he could score 20 per game in the NBA, and CJ Stroud hit him with, well, he's a Cowboy. He's naturally delusional. That was the thing I loved in sports this week. Cam, what'd you love in sports this week?
I always like a little feel-good story, so I'm going to go with the edge defender that the Colts drafted, Leatu Lato. He had that crazy bad neck injury. He
medically retired briefly.
Yeah, didn't play for 2 years. Pretty much thought that his football career was over, and look at him now, first-round pick. So good for him.
My thing I loved in sports this week is J.J. Redick finessing a podcast with LeBron to maybe having the Charlotte Hornets job.
I heard he's being mentioned.
No,
yeah.
Wait. Not just the Charlotte Hornets job. He might have the Los Angeles Lakers job now. Just taking a friendship with LeBron to heights.
New heights.
Places I've never seen it taken before. Not just going from ESPN and a podcast to an NBA coach, but NBA and a podcast with LeBron to being a coach for LeBron.
That's what LeBron does.
Gotta tip your cap to J.J. Redick.
I feel like the past coaches have been LeBron friends and then look at it.
Yeah, no matter whose name is on the door, LeBron's the coach. We know that.
Do you think they continue their podcast?
I do.
Player.
All right.
Quick honorable mention real quick. Caitlin Clark scoring 21 in front of a full audience or a full stadium in her first WNBA game.
Shout out to Caitlin Clark. All right, that'll do it for the bullpen this week. We will be back next week. Hope all of you have a great May the 4th be with you. Hope you have an excellent Sunday fun day, however you choose to celebrate this weekend. Come back and join us next Saturday. We'll be on again 12 to 2 ESPN Radio, 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN
97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.